Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we'll review new music from the Seattle pop-punk band Taco Cat, and we'll explore the legacy of the 1964 song Leader of the Pack in honor of its 55th anniversary.
That's when I fell for Leader of the Pack.
But first, we're going to do one of our periodic genre dissections on the movement known as the Paisley Underground.
In the early 1980s in Southern California, a new interpretation of an old sound was brewing. It was led by four critical bands, the Bangles, the Dream Syndicate, the 3 O'Clock, and Rain Parade. The Paisley Underground was all about reinterpreting those psychedelic sounds from the 60s, influenced by bands like the Beatles and the Byrds, and blending it with a post-punk vibe. They used droning guitars, driving drums, and psychedelic lyrics, very dark psychedelic lyrics, to make an impact on indie rock forever. Even Prince was totally smitten with this sound, working with the Bangles and naming his own estate and record label Paisley Park after that movement. Jim, why don't you set the scene for us?
Early 80s in California, actually the suburbs of Los Angeles, Davis, California. We have this scene come together of a lot of smart, ambitious, hugely talented musicians around a band we won't really talk much about, a group called Green on Red, which in my opinion had more to do with the roots of alt country.
16 kids, 16 ways, they shot my baby.
They used to have these big old barbecues, okay? Mm-hmm. And these kids would come. And these kids happened to be members of what would become the Dream Syndicate and the Bangles and the Rain Parade. They all are young, you know, and they are discovering this moment of psychedelic exploration in rock and roll in the mid-60s, 66, 67, 68, largely in Britain, some American bands. And they love this music. They love this idea and this attitude that I can create this thing in the recording studio that transports you to another world that exists only between the headphones, the recording studio as an instrument, psychedelic sounds, more expansive lyrics, the idea of transcending toward the white light.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It is not dying. It is not dying.
Well, and don't forget punk too, Jim. I mean, I think that it has to be said this wasn't just a regurgitation of those bands that they loved in the 60s, but this was the punk thing was happening then. And, you know, bands like X. And the Blasters were floating around and influencing the way these bands approach the music as well.
So these kids have this moment, and initially they're all recording really DIY, really indie, underground. So there is this acknowledgement of the past, and there is this element of fashion. We're dressing like it's 1966 Carnaby Street. the boys and the girls, it was always an equal part male and female movement. Just as every band from Seattle would come to hate the word grunge, the bands in California in 82, 83 is the heyday of Paisley Underground, would come to hate that tag and also love it. I mean, it did some good things, some bad things. Stephen Roback of the Rain Parade told me, you know, that Paisley Underground tag was simultaneously good and bad. It was good because it helped a lot of serious musicians get some notoriety and make good music. But it was bad because there were a lot of preconceived notions about what psychedelia was. I want to start by talking about one record, and then we're going to look at what we consider are the four most important bands. They get together and they cover some of their sacred Heroes, on a record that comes out in 83, the high point of every one of these bands' careers early on, Rainy Day. And so the Rain Parade, the Bangles, the Dream Syndicate, and the 3 O'Clock get together, swap members, and cover songs that they consider inspiration for this new wave of psychedelic sound. They cover Bob Dylan.
But if I could save you any time, come on, give it to me, I'll keep it with mine.
They covered the Beach Boys, Sloop John B.
Come on, Sloop John B, my grandfather and me, along lost our town we did roam.
Buffalo Springfield, yeah. Flying on the Ground is Wrong. Big Star. They cover the Velvets, they cover Jimi Hendrix. They're friends, having fun, but they're also laying a roadmap for sounds that they thought broke ground in the 60s that no one had followed up, and now we're going to pick up those loose threads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was an innocence there as well. This is a dark time. I mean, we're talking about the onset of the Reagan 80s.
The Reagan era.
We're talking about the Cold War era. We're talking about the nuclear arms buildup. We're talking about a ragingly bad economy.
Yeah.
There was a lot of dispirited people in the youth culture. And I think this music took the brightness and promise of that psychedelia from the 60s and blended it with the punk ethos and created mm-hmm. something that was really unique for its time.
Well, let's take these bands one by one. Dream Syndicate is started by a rock critic, like the French auteur movement of Godard and Truffaut, right? These people who love the art and write about the art and think about the art then decide, hey, I can make some art.
Yeah, well, these were, you know, largely educated people. Their parents inevitably had pretty cool records to listen to, and they were already steeped in art and culture when they started to forge their young adult lives in Los Angeles in the early 80s. You know, Steve Wynn is a great example, the driving force in the Dream Syndicate.
The band name, of course, comes from?
That is Tony Conrad's Dream Syndicate, the experimental musician from the 60s, creating this drone music that John Cale was involved with and other early members of the Velvet Underground. And the Velvet Underground was a tipping point band for Steve Wynn. At the age of 19, he heard a Velvet Underground record, the Banana album, the debut record, the Andy Warhol cover of the Banana, and never looked back. He said, this is the stuff, this is what I aspire to.
Well, to use the phraseology, both of the 60s and the Paisley Underground, that he saw God.
Sunday morning brings the dawning. It's just a restless feeling by my side.
They put out an EP, self-released in 82, got signed to Slash Records, and then released a debut album in 1983 that is considered a real landmark of the genre, The Days of Wine and Roses.
What a record.
That, to me, is a really important document. They had key tracks on that record, Tell Me When It's Over, was a single, and to me that was a great little expression of merging those 60s sounds with the punk sensibility, you know, punk rock songs. This is a different sound that really didn't have a context in that era.
The word from outside is she's on the ledge again, drawing a crowd and threatening everything. I'm here wondering just where I fit in. Everybody says I don't care.
You have to remember, Greg, that shortly after the psychedelic moment, it gets reduced in rock history, the shorthand, to if you're going to San Francisco, wear a flower in your hair, right?
Yeah.
It's all sunny. But there, of course, was dark trip psychedelia from the very beginning.
And I think the band took that as far as it could take it. I mean, it imploded. They only really made 4 albums in their heyday. You know, the last was Ghost Stories in 1988.
Yeah.
And like many of the bands from this era, they had this 5-6 year window
yeah.
where there was an incredible explosion of creativity, and then poof, you know, they all kind of disappear.
Let Professor DeRogatis inform the history for the younger listeners. You know, the magic of the indie rock 80s is that there were no stakes. Right? You were not going to be more popular than selling 5,000 albums, and maybe college radio would play you, and fanzine writers like you in upstate New York or me in Hoboken would write about it. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was superstar success. Every one of these groups gets signed to a major label, which promptly proceeds to jump up and down on their heads and stomp out all originality.
Mm-hmm.
As brilliant as Days of Wine and Roses by the Dream Syndicate is, I would say the one essential album, if you're going to start with one from the Paisley Underground bands and that moment in Southern California in the early 80s, is Emergency Third Rail Power Trip. This is one of those classic bands, the Rain Parade, that had an embarrassment of riches. David Roback is central in the early days, but equally as talented as a songwriter is his brother, Stephen Roback. Ideas are exploding out from these guys in every which way. Like the Dream Syndicate, there's also a dark element to their take on psychedelia, a sort of more meditative, philosophical. I'll tell you, I think it was Stephen told me, the state of mind we were in was all really dark. It's the Reagan 80s, right? It was like personal therapy, this music, for the band. Whereas the Dream Syndicate jams tended to be noisy, Rain Parades tended to be very much in that psychedelic drone tradition of almost a sitar.
Doesn't matter if it's nice today.
And then you had a wonderful drummer. Each of these bands had great drummers. See, I think the secret of psychedelic rock, as opposed to like psychedelic jam band, man, is that it stays rooted in the rock. You know, there's this thing that's keeping our feet on the ground, even as our head is in the clouds. You hear that in a song like What She Done to Your Mind, or Kaleidoscope.
Like a kaleidoscope.
Oh, my God. Or Look at Mary, which is a perfect Britpop song before Britpop happens in the 90s.
Right.
Or the original Britpop of Kinks and Beatles bands in the mid-60s.
All you want to know is what you found. Look at Mary, she goes round and round.
So, you know, David Roback leaves the Rain Parade early 1984. He goes on to do many other Paisley Underground-related projects, including, most successfully, Mazzy Star, which has this moment of success, circa the early alternative era. None of the Paisley Underground bands we're talking about today actually survive into the alternative era, although they are one of the many groups that helped pave the way for it. You know, they all sign to a major label, they all don't sell millions of units, and they all break up, but they live on in terms of influence. Certainly, I think that's true of the Bangles. You know, there's really like two or three Bangles you can talk about.
Yeah, that is true, Jim. And we're going to talk in depth about the Bangles and more Paisley Underground when we return on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.